God bless you. Praise God. Take a seat. We rented a restaurant. So what I'd have to do every Saturday night was go there and sort of break down the restaurant aspect and then reassemble it as a church. And I'd have to go there. I used to get there about 11:30 on a Saturday night, late. You'd be waiting for everybody to finish, you know, their meals and get out, you know. And we would be waiting there till about midnight. Finally, like the last diners would leave, you'd be willing them to get out the place and get the last tube home. And then we'd have to move all the tables and get all the chairs in rows, you know, because obviously a restaurant doesn't look anything like a church. You know, you needed lots of sort of rows there, basically. And I would do this with a friend. And, you know, have you ever felt sometimes in churches, sometimes the same old people doing the same old things time after time? And I would do all of this, and you know, the mice would be skittering around on the floor. Sometimes I think, you know, there are more mice than people in that restaurant. It didn't make me think I wouldn't want to go and eat there. But eventually we'd set it all up, and then we'd catch the night bus home, and then we'd be back sort of early the next day for church, you know. And we would be there very promptly, and sometimes you would see other people, you know, walking in, coming in sort of late, you know, with a cap. We were in Covent Gardens. You could order like a nice cappuccino to go, and they would come wandering in, you know, sauntering in sort of like this, you know, sitting themselves down, you know, on the chair, getting in a little bit late, just arriving at church like that. And I would be thinking, I would be looking at them and thinking, do they not know how much work I've done to get this place ready? You know, you're getting in late, and I've left the place at 1 a.m. in the morning, and I'm still back by 10:45 the next day, you know. And I would be lying if I said a bit of resentment hadn't built up on the inside towards those people, you know. And I prided myself on being a worker for God, you know. And I looked at all those other people taking advantage of my work, and I thought, I'm not very happy with that scenario. And it took me back to something in the Bible, which we may want to turn to, Luke 10, 38 and 42. And we see two approaches here to two people who were around Jesus. And I love it because there's a contrast between both of them. And God puts the two together to reveal something to us. And it says, Luke 10:38 said, "Now it happened as they went that he," that's Jesus, "entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" You know, sometimes the service can distract from the person that we're actually serving, you know? Is it wrong to cook a meal for Jesus and his disciples? No, obviously not. But she's become distracted by the task. There's nothing wrong with the task. Jesus doesn't rebuke her for the task, but he says, "You've got the sort of attitude whereby you are distracted by many things, by much stuff." Does somebody want to come out to the front here? I want to just do illustrate this a little bit. All you need is a pair of hands. If you haven't got a pair of hands, don't come forward. I only need one. Go on, Peter. Take the, oh, there we go. Peter, we've got. Perfect. So, Peter, let me arm you with a broom there and do a bit of sweeping. There's a little bit of mess on the floor, a bit of rice from last night. Come on, do a bit better job than that. Goodness, not very good cleaner, is he? Now, Pete, if you can just maybe just do a little bit of dusting as well. That would be really good. There's a bit of dust there. There's a little bit of dust on the floor. I know you got the broom, but if you can try, come on, get it all together. You got the dustpan there for the smaller bits and bobs. And then whilst we're at it, there's obviously need to keep the floor clean as well. So if you can just get the bucket, keep the broom in your hand. Bucket as well. There we go. You need to just do a little bit of, you know, a bit of rinsing, bit of washing, stuff like that. And Pete, whilst you're at it, obviously, you know, we're all hungry here. I'm hungry. Get your jollof and in there, you know. And before you know it, Pete is fully occupied with all the tasks, isn't he? You know? And there's something, isn't there, about hands that are permanently filled with tasks, is there's no room to lift them in worship, you know? How can we expect Pete to do that, you know? There's nothing wrong individually with any of the tasks, but doing all of them has left no space to worship the Lord and to spend time with him. Pete, thank you very much. Please don't put that in my saucepan. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. Don't get Pete round your house to do the cleaning. It'd be worse afterwards than it was before he started. But. So we see Mary and Martha are two types of believer, really, aren't they? Two types of Christian. They have a difference of approach. And we know they were friends of Jesus. You know, they lived in a house. It's in effectively like a suburb. Of Jerusalem, and they were there. They lived together. They obviously had sort of some means, you know, because it was a property that was big enough. He welcomes sort of Jesus and his disciples into it, and Jesus spent some time with them. You know, we see other instances where Jesus enjoyed being with them and spending time with them, and Jesus knew at this stage that his time on earth was running out, and he knew that his end was not far away, and he made sure that he spent time with Martha and Mary. And we get to learn a little bit about them, don't we? You know, when you spend time with people, you learn a little bit about them. It says Martha, the name Martha means lady of the house. Lady of the house is a lovely title, isn't it? You know, it implies that Martha was probably running the household. And Mary means wise woman or lady. Wise woman or lady. Mary, maybe under that scenario, Mary was the wiser woman spending time with Jesus, you know? Jesus knew the end was not far away, and Mary was making sure she was going to spend some time with him, you know? Sometimes it's better to be a disciple than a worker. You know, Mary was there spending time with the Lord Jesus while Martha was busying herself doing lots of stuff. There's nothing wrong with a meal, but there is something wrong with getting distracted from the main event. And we know that they also were sisters to Lazarus. You know, we know with Lazarus, didn't we, that he passed away and Jesus brought him back from the dead. And they spent quite a lot of time together. Let's turn to John 11. They were close-knit. And I love the way that God has revealed the friendship that Jesus had with them. You know, we sometimes think Jesus didn't need friends, but he did need friends. You know, when he was on the earth, he needed a place to stay. He needed people to chill out with. You know, he needed companionship, okay? He was holy God, but he was also holy man as well, and needed the ability just to go someplace and chill out, you know? And if Martha's so distracted, he can't spend time with them to the fullest extent. You know, if I invite you around to my house for a meal, if you're lucky enough that You get an invite from me. You know, if I spend all my time doing the cooking, you're going to leave a bit disappointed, aren't you? And I can do the most lovely cordon bleu cookery. I mean, you won't get that with me. You're lucky to get jacket potatoes, lasagna. But if I do like a really lovely meal with you, for you, but it's not served with love and care, it will not be very memorable, will it? I can become distracted in cooking up a lovely meal for you, but you will not feel it's the best because fundamentally you've come round to see me, you know? Let's have a look. John 11. We know that Lazarus is ill, and Jesus is worried about it as well. It says, John 11, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. That's the suburb where they lived. And anyway, he's sick. And Jesus is worried. It says, therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love. So Lazarus, who Jesus loved, is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It says, Jesus said, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. So he tarried a little while in that place because his friend was sick. But then he has to go and depart. He's got other things to do. He's got ministry to do. And verse 21, we read, just skipping forward a little bit. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. So his brother Lazarus dies whilst Jesus has departed. And Martha is obviously, you know, aghast with what's happened. But then she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother is going to rise again. And we know that Jesus, you know, very moved. Verse 38, it says, Jesus again groaning in himself. You know, you only groan like that if you have a very, very deep feeling. Jesus had very deep feelings for Lazarus and for Mary and for Martha. And he came to the tomb where Lazarus was. So it was a cave, stone was lying against it. And Jesus says, take away the stone. And verse 43, it said, now when he'd said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Jesus knew that he was going to bring him back to life. And we know that a little while later, they were together in the house again. In chapter 12, it said, Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he'd raised from the dead, there they made him, that's Jesus, a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. You know, that would have been a good meal. You know, my brother, who I thought was permanently dead, has been brought back to life by Jesus. You know, we're together. And then it says, Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You know, very, very beautiful thing. Immensely expensive oil. It was so expensive that they kept it in an alabaster jar and a tight seal on it. You didn't want it to evaporate. I think, you know, it comes from a type of herb called the nard that comes from India. And it's very rare, very, very expensive. So you wouldn't just have lavished it upon anybody. But Mary sees fit to do it to Jesus. You know, and suddenly one of his disciples pops up. Now, this would not be the disciple that I would pick for financial tips, you know, but who do we read the disciple is who's offering the advice? Do we have any idea? Exactly, Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, saying, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This, he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So he wasn't worried about the poor, he was worried about his own personal income, you know? And he masqueraded and thought, oh, it would be so much better if we'd sold this. Look at Mary, like, lavishing all this oil, all this stuff has just absolutely gone to waste. But Jesus sees through it immediately and says, let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial. You know, she's kept this for the day of my burial. Mary realized who Jesus was in terms of his significance. You know, Mary absolutely recognized who she had in her midst. And my question to you today is, are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you a Mary or a Martha? And sometimes they were two sisters, weren't they? And sometimes sisters can be very similar. And I think, you know, God puts them together in the same household, because sometimes, you know, we can have different parts of our night. Like one day we're a Mary and the next day we're a Martha. The other day we can alternate. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're in a Mary mood, sometimes we're in a Martha mood. But I think, you know, come one or the other, we're better off being a Mary, aren't we? We're better off being a Mary. And we went to a beautiful wedding yesterday. I remember being at a wedding a few years ago at a friend of mine. And it's a lovely, lovely, lovely person. And they'd spent loads of money on the wedding, like really a lot of money. You know, probably, you know, 40 grand type of thing. That buys you a lot of wedding, doesn't it? 40 grand. You know, you can get a lot of stuff. And the food was really, really nice, and you know, beautiful venue, and all of that. I mean, it was just absolutely pucker. You know, they spent a lot of cash on it. But because they were both so stressed out with all the little details, it wasn't a massively enjoyable experience, you know. And you know, I was you know, quite close to the couple, and you know, we were trying to fix things as the wedding sort of went on. And I tried to say to them, look, you know, chill out, it doesn't matter that much, you know, as long as we've got, like, you know, enough food to eat, enough drink to drink, the venue is fine. We don't need to worry that much about the fine details. But with all of it, you know, they got really, really stressed in a way they never needed to, you know? And they were distracted from the most wonderful aspect to the whole event, because they were thinking, oh my gosh, the roses aren't quite right, or, you know, the wine's not quite the one we ordered, and, you know, where's this course, where's that course? You know, you can get bogged down in the minor details, can't you? And forget, here we are, it's a wedding, it's, you know, we're enjoying it. People were enjoying themselves, but sadly the bride and groom right at the center of it weren't. You know, a colleague of mine at work, he told me about his parents. They've been together many years. They had like a lovely wedding anniversary together, and a lovely couple, church-going couple, lots and lots of friends. My colleague said, he said they booked like a really rubbish hotel for it. You know, the hotel, it was rubbish. He said, I'm surprised they booked that hotel, because it really wasn't very, very good. He said the food, it wasn't good. It was rubbery chicken, you know, it was just not very nice. Serving staff weren't very nice. But you know what? It didn't make any difference whatsoever. You know, and he said it was such a beautiful event. As he said, people were going there. He said they just loved my mum and dad. And my mum and dad loved them, you know. And he said, we could have held the party on a street corner, you know, with just glasses of orange juice and a couple of cream crackers, and people would have had a nice time, because people knew why they were there. They were enjoying that couple, and that couple were enjoying them, you know, regardless. And it didn't need an awful lot of money spent on it. So are you a Mary or a Martha? And I think there are certain aspects of their interactions with Jesus that we want to pick out and isolate and learn from them. And I would say, number one, write this down if you like, stick it on your iPhone, WhatsApp it, do whatever. Don't be more worried about the service than who's being served. Don't be more worried about the service than who's being served. And Jesus says to us, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's like with Peter when he had all those things, Peter Hassan. You know, Jesus sometimes is in the business of just removing things from us that have become a heavy burden. You know, Jesus, did he rebuke Martha for doing some stuff in the house? No, he didn't. Nothing wrong with making a meal, is there? Nothing in the Bible that says, don't make a meal, you know, don't keep a nice house, don't serve people. You know, hospitality is important. But when you get overloaded with too much stuff, when you've got a broom in one hand, saucepan in the other, duster in the other. You know, you're juggling a dustpan and brush in the other. You know, you're not able to lift your hands in worship. Jesus says, you know, he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, Mary was doing something of eternal significance with Jesus, wasn't she? You know, sitting at his feet, learning from him. There's always another meal you can make, but when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, you don't want to miss anything, do you? It's recognizing the most important thing. Mary, she may not have known it, maybe she wouldn't even have sensed it, but there was a feeling that Jesus wouldn't be there forever on the earth, and she was going to make the most of that encounter that she had with Jesus Christ. It was important to her, and she needed to be refilled with Jesus. You know, she gave out of her best in terms of perfume in worship, but she knew that she needed to be recharged, refreshed, renewed, set on fire again, in order that her life would be aglow with Jesus. You know, there comes a time, doesn't there, where we need to set aside some of the works and let God bring refreshment to us. So number one, don't let the service cloud out who's being served. Number two, and I love this as well, don't neglect your friends. Don't neglect your friends. I love it for what it tells us about Jesus, and I love it for what it tells us about Mary and Martha as well. You know, Jesus was a friend to them. You know, Jesus visited the house on a semi-regular basis. He was there quite a bit. And I think, you know, Jesus needed it. You know, he needed time where he draws away from the crowds to be refreshed himself there. So if Martha's busying herself in the kitchen that evening, he doesn't get the quality time that he needs. You know, how many of us know that what's good for Jesus is also good for us? Exactly. He blazed a trail for us. You know, we need our friends. Don't neglect your friends. And I think Jesus could speak truth into Martha's life because they had a relationship. And I think also as well, Martha could sometimes be real with Jesus as well. Because I think she was a bit aghast that her brother had died and Jesus wasn't there. You know, what's gone on, Jesus? You left and he died. And sometimes we need to be real with Christ, don't we? About a particular thing. Jesus, why did this happen? You know, we don't sweep everything under the carpet. Sometimes we need to be very, very honest with God. And I think Jesus was honest with Martha. Martha was able to be honest with him. You know, we need that quality of relationship. We need people who aren't just going to say, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, but actually can say, look, Tim, I think you got this wrong. I think you need to do it this way. This doesn't sound right in God. We need those people in our lives, don't we? It says in the Bible, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, and sometimes we need friends who are strong enough and big enough and ugly enough in our life that they're prepared to say, look, Tim, I think you are doing a wrong thing. You know, I'm doing at the moment, passed my driving test 3 years ago, but I know since then some bad habits have crept in. And the thing is, if you're doing something wrong, you know you're doing something wrong. But if you don't know you're doing something wrong, then how can you fix it? You know, it's an unknown unknown, isn't it? And the helpful thing with having him in the passenger seat is he's watching my driving, watching what I'm doing, and spotting things that I never knew before. You know, so for instance, at a roundabout, you know, I'll be looking to the right. Is there a car coming? You know, obviously you need to give way to the car, don't you? But for some reason, I don't know why, can't give you an explanation, but he spotted it. For some reason, I keep checking that row. He said, why do you keep doing that? I said, I didn't even know I was doing it. He said, you know, if there's a car there, obviously stop. But if there's no car, it's not going to suddenly magically appear a millisecond after you've checked. So why keep looking like that? You know, realize a bad habit has crept in. You know, and we need sometimes those people who will come alongside us, sit alongside us in our life and say, Tim, I think this is out of order and you need to fix it. So number two, don't neglect your friends. Number three, really important one, do not compare yourself with other people. Now, Martha and Mary represent types of Christianity. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with either one. Martha is more of a doer, isn't she? And some people in church, you know, we're doers. I'm probably more of a doer. There are other people who are much more of a worshipper, prayer type of a personality. You know, if I led worship in church, it would be terrible, really. You would want to go home, just say, you know, how long, you know, tell me how long you're going to do it for. I'll go to the cafe, I'll come back afterwards, hear the word. You know, I would just be terrible at it. You know, so we all have things that we're particularly good at. And Martha will always be a sort of doer. And there's nothing wrong with being a doer. And like Mary, there's nothing wrong with being a worshipper. It's a different sort of personality type. But I think what Jesus picks up on is Martha is comparing herself to Mary. He says, look, you know, I'm so busy in the kitchen, Jesus. Please, you know, you're the Son of God here. You tell her. Tell her to help me chop the asparagus or chop the vegetables and boil up the stuff. Here I am. I'm all on my own in the kitchen. She's having a nice time with you. You know, imagine the cheek of it. It's very cheeky, isn't it? Expecting Jesus to do your dirty work for you, you know. But don't compare yourself to other people. There was a bit of friction there, isn't there? You know, and some people, they love comparing themselves to other people. You know, I was looking on Twitter this week, just with that dreadful storm that hit Houston. And if you look under the sort of hashtags on Twitter, some people were really criticizing Joel Osteen, you know, for not chucking open his church doors. And on and on and on it went on Twitter. Now, I don't know the rights of the or the wrongs of that, but I think, you know, I'm not going to take to Twitter to criticize something that I don't fully know. You know, how do I know what he's doing? I don't know what his situation is. I don't know if he was able to open his doors. And they sort of said, oh, well, he's got a big church in Houston. How come he hasn't sort of opened his door? And it turned out he was doing some stuff to sort of help people out. It was a refuge down the road and people were going there instead. You know, I'm more interested in my own response to Hurricane Harvey than try to criticize somebody else's, you know. And an awful lot of problems in Christianity are caused when we're comparing ourselves with other people. You know, we're all on a slightly different walk to somebody else. And we don't need to sometimes go storming the gates of heaven and saying, God, please sort this person out because they're rubbish and I'm really good and my way's right and their way's wrong. You know, don't compare yourself to other people. You know, number four. So we've had, don't be more worried about the service than who's being served. Don't neglect your friends. Don't compare yourself. But also as well, remember the most important thing. Jesus wants to spend time with you. Say that, can you? Jesus wants to spend time with me. However incredible it might seem. Jesus was actually round their house that night because he wanted to spend some quality time with them. You know, whatever happens in our lives, he wants to spend time with us. Sometimes it's pruning time, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, when we have Jesus alongside us, it's not always comfortable, you know. But how many of you know, bad soil produces good grapes. You know, if you've got a decent vine or a decent apple tree, if you don't prune that, it'll be rubbish. I had an apple tree in my garden one time. Nobody had touched it for 5 years. Every summer, it used to crowd out the light. Literally, used to go in the back garden. It was dark. I had to prune the whole thing back. Literally, chopped it in half by 50%. All that wood, I thought, oh no, I've killed it. It's never going to recover. Next summer, it was little, well, it wasn't fruit, but there was little shoots coming out of that thing. You know, God is more interested in fruit than wood. you know, rather than having some great big tree, some great big sprawling edifice, some sprawling structure, he'd rather have a few good apples. And that's why he needs to do that process of pruning. Sometimes God comes alongside us, doesn't he, just to go snip. And you think, God, I was just building up the cell group, and then those six people left after a row. And God says, look, I was just pruning a bough there, because I'm going to give you some greater fruit in its place, you know? Because God says, I want to spend time with you. And that story of the prodigal son, it's not just a story about the prodigal son, it's also a story about a loving dad. You know, his son went off, spent all his money. Imagine that, Jewish boy goes out and about, loses all that cash. Eventually, he just thinks, right, I'm just going to become a pigman. I'm just going to look after the pigs. That's quite a come down if you're Jewish, isn't it? I'll just go back, look after dad's pigs. And I just think, you know, whatever, I'll go back. But he comes back, and instead, the father is there. He's been going to the gate maybe every day looking for his son, looking for him, hoping he would come home. One day he does, and he sees him far off on the horizon and rushes and runs to see his son. And his son, just thinking he's going to get a menial job, he doesn't get a menial job, he gets a party. You know, there's rejoicing in heaven, isn't there, when we spend time, when we come to Jesus. And I don't want to be somebody who's so engrossed in my work that I forget about honoring him and blessing him. Let's stand, shall we? Just us. I just want to lead us in prayer. We don't miss the main event. We don't miss the God event, because we're doing just the good stuff, stuff that's anointed, stuff that's called by God. But sometimes we need to just have God right at the center of it. And Father, we bless your mighty name this morning. Father, I place myself in this as much as anybody else, Lord, knowing that I'm much more of a Martha than a Mary, would struggle to get the lid off the alabaster jar and think, I really need to save that up for a special occasion. And God saying, well, actually, look, Tim, this is a special occasion. I'm here. Let's enjoy it. Let's have a lavish time. And God, I pray, Lord, that Father God, Lord, we would be both Martha and Mary, Father God. We would know how to do, but we'd also know how to be. And Father, I pray for that deluge of your presence, Father God, that Lord, that perfume of our worship that we release to you would be given back to us, Father God, in the form of your blessing and your favor poured out on us, Father, knowing that when we reach for you, Father God, you reach down to us to refresh, to renew, to bless, to anoint, to recharge, to fire up the batteries for even better work, Father God. Lord, if you were cultivating a tree, you're more interested in fruit than wood. And Father God, you'd rather have, Father, great fruit than a great sprawl. And Father, I pray for the anointing of you, Father, to be upon us. Lord, your refreshment and your blessing, Father God. Lord God, when we are in your presence, Father God, Lord, we are able to be Mary's, Father, lavishing our time and attention on you in the name of Jesus. Amen.